message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Amen. We want to preach off of this movie here. This is kind of an annual thing that we've been doing. And I've done 8 different movies, so we're in round 2. So I've done this one before, back in 2014. There are 3 of them. This is the 3rd movie of the Santa Claus trilogy. Scott Calvin, played by Tim Allen, has been Santa Claus by this point for 12 years. He was married in episode 2. His wife is now at the North Pole with him, and she's also with child and due any moment, and she's missing her family. And so they've arranged, in order to help her see her family, they've arranged for her parents, the in-laws, to come to the North Pole to visit, but they have to keep the secret of Santa, so they have disguised the North Pole as a toy shop in Canada. So that's where they think they're going. Also going on is the least popular legendary figure, Jack Frost, who is trying to take Santa's job and take over the North Pole. So you got a pregnant wife, some upset in-laws, and a jealous rival all working together, making for a stressful time in Christmas. How many of y'all know Christmas can be a stressful time? It's the most wonderful time of the year, says the song. I would say also it's a very difficult time of the year. It has a way of amplifying loss and absence. It can also be a very stressful time of the year, especially when all the men are running to the store to do their shopping on December the 24th. It can be stressful just trying to work out calendars, trying to get it all done, and trying not to miss the moments while trying to create the moments, right? And so it's a stressful time at the North Pole. And for a while, it looks like Christmas is not going to happen. But lo and behold, in the end, it all works out. Just like a Hallmark movie. It just works out at the end. So Christmas presents are delivered on time. Little Claus Jr. is delivered as well. The in-laws not only get there, but they're let in on the secret. And they find out who their son-in-law really is. And then Jack Frost, the one after Santa's job, becomes content with his lot in life. So it ends well, and if it didn't, it wouldn't be a good Christmas movie, right? So the title of the message, just like the movie, is Escape Clause. The escape clause is the clause in the Santa contract that you can grab hold of whenever you want to get out of the job of being Santa. There's an escape clause so you can get out of it. And so I want us to really, I really feel this is timely and significant. And here's what I want you to do. Because it's going to be fun, and because we're going to laugh, and because we're going to watch clips, don't let the fun and the comedy of the moments cause you to miss out on the significance of the message that we're getting to this morning. Because I really do believe it is significant and timely. So I've got 5 statements. And we've got clips for each one. We're going to have a couple of clips for the first statement, and then we'll have one clip per statement for the rest of it. And like I said earlier, you'll watch about 9 minutes of the movie by the time it's done. So Psalm chapter 55, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read the first 5 verses, and then we'll put the last 3 on the screen. But I want you to hear the words of the psalmist. The psalmist is in a difficult place, and this is his prayer. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint, and I moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And then at verse 6, and we'll put this on a screen for you. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. I'm grateful for the prayer and the heart cry of the psalmist here right this passage. And Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, stir in our hearts, speak to us, let us hear what we need, let us get what we need for your glory and our good, in Jesus' name, amen. That I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. You ever felt that way? I would hasten my escape. So we find the word escape. We're talking about the escape clause. This person, the psalmist here, is in a difficult place. They're trying to get out. They're looking for an exit. They're trying to grab hold of the escape clause. They want away. They want free. Regardless of what has transpired, I'm not going to give you the history of this passage. I don't think that matters this morning, because regardless of what has taken place, regardless of what is going on in this person's life, what I want you to pick up from these eight verses are some of the emotions that are there. Catch some of the words: restless, oppression, trouble, hate, terror, death, fearfulness, trembling, horror, overwhelmed. Maybe some of those, or maybe all of those, relate to where you are right now. In one place, he says this: my heart is severely pained. Another version says, my heart is full of anguish. How many of y'all know life brings pain? It brings anguish. I looked it up in the Message translation, and it said it this way: my insides are turned inside out. This is where the psalmist is. And so the message this morning centers about a question that is asked a couple of times in the movie, and we're going to look at those clips. It's a question that probably all of us have asked about certain times in our own lives at various times. And so the question is this: is it worth it? Is it worth it? Other than Santa, the main character of the movie is Jack Frost. He's jealous of Santa. He attempts to overthrow Santa. Jack Frost in this movie is the enemy. It's a familiar story. In Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, we find this: for you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farther sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. This is referring to Lucifer. He says, I will be like the Most High. And then in Genesis 3:5, we find this. We find Lucifer, the tempter, the enemy, saying these words to Adam and Eve: God knows in the day that you eat, of it, your eyes will be open and you will, you remember the rest? You will be like God. In Isaiah, Lucifer says, I'm going to be like God. And then in Genesis, he tells Adam and Eve, you can be like God. Church, can I just tell you? No one is like God. Yes, we're created in His image, but we're not like God. God's here, we're a lot lower. Nobody is like God, and nor will ever be. There is one God. So we're going to look at the first couple of clips. The first two clips will run back to back. They introduce us to Jack Frost, and they reveal his tactics. Remember, Jack is the enemy.
You don't particularly resemble one of the red man's minions. What's the deal?
I'm Lucy. Scott's my uncle.
Oh. I'm Frost. Jack Frost.
Who?
Jack Frost. You know, the Jack Frost?
Never heard of you.
Jack Frost. Legendary figure? Ring a bell?
No. But I know about Tooth Fairy and Sandman and the Easter Bunny.
Well, you gotta know about me. I'm a legendary figure, too, with enormous power in my own right.
Okay, chill.
I invented chill! Sorry. Hey, how would you like to be one of my elves?
No. Hey, Mom!
No.
So the next clip, as you can see, Jack has some esteem issues, wants badly to be recognized, and the next clip is going to show him at work.
Oh!
Old Coast and Spanish cocos, sweet to the palate, but oh so warm to the tummy. With a trickle of cinnamon and orange essence, enough to drive the taste buds mad.
So, we learn that Jack cares only about himself. He sabotages everything, attempting to ruin Christmas. So what if the kids don't get gifts? It doesn't matter. He's only concerned about him. Listen, the focus of Christmas is the birth of Jesus, but our focus this morning is somewhat on the enemy, and the enemy is just like Jack. He doesn't care that you suffer. He will attempt to sabotage things in your life, not concerned at all about how it may make you feel. His job description, you know it, it's in the book of John, is to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy wants things to go cold in your life. As you saw, he invented chill. The devil would love to put chill in your marriage. He'd love to put some chill in your relationship and make your relationship with your kids go cold. He would love for your relationship with Jesus to go cold. I want to give you five statements, one for each clip, and here's the first one. The goal of the enemy is self-promotion at any cost. Any cost. I will be like the Most High. I want to be just like God, and Jack wants Santa's job. I want to be just like him. Self-promotion at any cost. The devil wants to exalt himself above God. That's all that matters. And if you're hurt in the process, so what? It doesn't matter. There are those that will stop at nothing to get what they want. They will lie, cheat, steal, and step on whoever they have to step on in order to get what they want. It can happen at a job. It can happen in work. Somebody just stepping on somebody else to get the promotion or the raise. I'm not going to go all political on you this morning, but there are leaders in our nation right now that carry that spirit. Lie, cheat, and steal, and hurt whoever it hurts in the population. It doesn't matter as long as we get what we want. That is a spirit of the enemy. Self-promotion at any cost, even if it's the cost of lives. The Bible tells us that God is love. And we know that the devil, the enemy, is the opposite of God. So if God is love and the enemy is the opposite, then the enemy is the absence of love. And a lot of people think of the opposite of love, and that the opposite of love is hate, and maybe it is to a point, but I don't want you to think of the word hate. I want you to think of the word selfishness, because love is the absence of self. The more you love, the less self is in the way. The Bible says that there is no greater love that a man would have than to, what, lay down his life. In other words, I'll lay me aside in order to love over here. Well, the opposite is true as well. There is no greater amount of selfishness than for somebody to lay down somebody else's life in order that I get ahead. And that is our enemy. Steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't have a compassionate bone in his body. He's not for you even a little bit. He's against us. So we move to the second clip. In this clip, Mrs. Claus is shopping for a Christmas tree and awaiting for her parents to arrive to the North Pole. They don't know the truth about Santa, so the North Pole is made to look like a Canada toy shop, all of keeping the secret of Santa intact. As she's looking over the trees, Jack comes up and begins to talk to her.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know, where the tree.
Hey, Mrs. C, what you doing?
Oh, hi.
Jack. I'm just trying to pick out a tree the whole family will love.
Ah, family. You know, I cannot imagine how hard it must be keeping such a big secret from your folks.
Oh, you have no idea.
Tell me, Mrs. Claus, being legendary by marriage, do you ever find yourself wondering if it's all really worth it?
Oh, it's definitely worth it.
I'm sure dropping your old life and schlepping all the way up to the North Pole's been totally worthwhile.
Yeah.
Probably not one iota, not even a scintilla of regret.
Not one.
Yeah. Look at that. Oh, dear. A little sad and neglected, maybe. Just needs a little tender, loving care that nobody's bothering to give. Don't you think?
It's perfect. I will give you all the TLC that you need. You know, Scott loves decorating the tree with me. He always insists on putting the tree topper on himself. Oh, they're here.
So exciting.
Yeah, I know you want to keep watching. You're supposed to already have done that. So I want to go back to our text in Psalm 55. One of the things that's mentioned, the psalmist says, is bringing him down is the voice of the enemy. Church, God talks to you. And the enemy talks to you as well. And the voice of the enemy will bring you down. In Genesis, the enemy spoke to Adam and Eve. It was his voice that brought about the confusion and the division. The confusion between Adam and Eve over what God said and what did he mean. And then the division between God and his creation. It started with the voice of the enemy, with the lying voice of the enemy. He spoke to Adam and Eve. He spoke to Jesus, and he will speak to us. And notice what the enemy tells her. Is it worth it? Have you ever wondered, is it worth it? Think about Mrs. Claus. She left her life as she knew it, a teacher and somewhat normal, and now she lives in the North Pole and she is Mrs. Claus. Exciting, right, to go live in the North Pole. But it's a drastic change, and after a while, some of the newness wears off, and she is feeling down. She's depressed. She's discouraged. She's missing her parents, and now the enemy says, is it worth it? It was exciting in the beginning, but is it worth it now? And maybe you've questioned yourself. You know, parenting is a blessing, but have there been the moments where it's like, man, is this worth it? Marriage is a blessing, but have you ever asked, is it worth it? Is it worth all of this? Because how many of y'all know that in parenting and in marriage, there are some challenges. There are some, can I say, trials and tribulation. And in those moments right there, when you're down, when you're discouraged, that is when your ear is most in tune to the voice of the one who hates you. The voice of the enemy. When it comes to salvation, just like Mrs. Claus, we go from living life one way, and then you have a salvation experience, and all of a sudden, you're brought out of darkness into light, and you're living as a new creature in Jesus. You're living a life in a new way. Maybe you lost some friends. Maybe you had to give up some things and let go of some things, and now you're trying to learn to live life in a different kind of a way, and there's a good thing about it because you've experienced the love of God, and you sense God's presence, and there's this, for me, there was this very high emotion that was in the beginning. And there's an excitement. And so some of the transition is not too bad. But then some time goes by. And the feelings aren't always up here. Keith Green, the late Keith Green, had a song called By the Grace by Which I Stand. And there's a line in there that says, the feelings are not the same. And it's a prayer song. And he's just talking to the Lord. He said, the Lord, the feelings aren't the same as they were in the beginning. Can I tell you that emotions are a good thing? Feelings, good feelings. I like good feelings. And with a new relationship, with a new beginning or a new start, a new job, there can be some emotional highs with that because it's just new. There's an excitement that comes with anything new. Pair of shoes, right, ladies? A new haircut. A new fishing rod. Get the guys in on this. New set of golf clubs. Don't get too excited. New. There's just something about new, but new is only new for how long? For a little while, right? And after new, it becomes familiar. Marriage is new and the relationship's new. Got the newborn baby new. Salvation is new, but after time goes by, now it's familiar. Still good, but the feelings aren't always the same. Nothing wrong with feelings, but they change. Your relationship with your wife, your husband, your kids, your God has to be built on something more than feelings. It's good to have feelings. I like it when we worship and I sense God's presence and it feels good. I like it when I'm going through life and things feel good, but things aren't going to always feel good. What are you going to do right there? There has to be something more solid than emotions. So here's your second point this morning. The enemy will take advantage of you when your emotions are charged. Her emotions were charged. She was down. She was discouraged. She's pregnant. That says a lot right there. She's lonely. She's depressed. Her emotions are charged. And so the enemy whispers in her ear, "Is it worth it? Why don't you throw in the towel? Call it done." I'll just tell you that in our nation right now, the emotions of civilization are charged. Our emotions are overly charged. There have been stabbings over the mask. Arguments, I was going to say arguments, but yes, but that's common. Stabbings. I know of a guy that was put in the hospital over a mask dispute that got out of hand. I'm not saying we need to be in charge of our emotions, but there is a supercharged environment right now over the pandemic, over the mask, over the virus. Everybody who wears a mask, we conclude, well, they're in fear. Maybe not. And if you don't wear a mask, well, you don't love people. No, wrong. There's other answers, but somebody has us all charged up. Who is it, I wonder? Well, it's the government. It's beyond that. It's the enemy. The voice of the enemy is heard loudest when emotions are charged. As believers, as followers of Jesus, we have to learn and remember to respond to the Spirit and not react in the flesh. Whenever we react in the flesh, rather than respond in the Spirit, we often blow it. Come on, husbands and wives, think back. You might not even have to go back too far. When you have to come back and say, "I'm sorry, I said this, shouldn't have said that." Why did you say it? Your emotions were charged. And when the emotions are charged, the flesh is in the front seat, Spirit's in the back seat. Voice of God, the still small voice, is very distant, and the voice of the enemy is right there in your face. The enemy will take advantage of you when your emotions are charged. That's why the Bible says, in your anger, you know the rest, do not sin. Anger is an emotion. It's not a sin to be angry, but you can certainly sin while you're angry. So in that emotion of anger, don't let the enemy push you over the line. Don't sin in your emotion or in your anger. In your frustration, don't sin. In your excitement, don't sin. In your grief, don't sin. In your fill in the blank of whatever the emotion is, don't let that emotion push you over a boundary. We need to learn to respond to the Spirit or in spirit. So the next clip. In this clip, the tree is being decorated. There's a lot of tension and stress by this time of the movie, most of it due to Jack's antics. His ploy has been working well, and things are about to go from bad to worse.
Hey, hey, I'm rolling downhill.
Listen to me.
This is not up to code, this building.
You're number one, now act like it.
Why haven't you put the tree top in the tree yet?
I gotta go.
Oh, Scott's just been a little busy.
Tell your dad to do it. And then watch the suddenly displaced Mr. Claus run right over.
Huh? That is fun.
Hey, Dad, do you want to help me with the tree topper?
Yeah, in a minute.
Ah. I don't know who he is anymore.
I don't know who he is anymore either.
You know, Neil, Lucy, and Laura should be here for this.
They left a while ago. I wonder where they are.
Oh, some of the Canadians invited them over for cocoa.
And you know how they are. Yuck, 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 eh?
Scott? Tree topper, what do you say?
Hey, Scott, honey.
Hey.
Let's put the tree topper on. We can make a toast.
Hey, you built this place on a fault line.
Millions of kids in Australia go without gifts, but what can I do for you guys?
Tree topper.
Oh, yeah, tree topper. Good.
Scott, toast?
Just a sec. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Good. Bad. Well, good for goodness sakes. Yeah, uh-huh. Hey, Curtis, I can't talk right now. And put the tree topper on the tree. It's very important. Can't talk. Curtis, please, 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 I gotta go, gotta go. I'm gonna put it in my pocket.
Good.
I'm not answering that. I'm putting the phone in my pocket.
Good.
Put it in my pocket. All done. Okay, everybody. As I climb up this beautiful tree, I know we've had our ups and downs. But as I place this tree topper in the traditional place, I just want to say,
did you feel the stress in that? The tree falling to the floor is the proverbial final straw. It's the icing on the cake. It's that last nerve. And it doesn't just fall, it crashes to the floor. You know, crash is usually associated with unpleasant events. Some of you have had your hard drive crash. It's not positive. Car crash, not good. In the medical field, if somebody's flatlining, they tell them that they are crashing. See, this, for me, the tree crashing to the floor represents dreams that are crashing out of your life, maybe. Represents marriages that are failing, families that are broken, another rejection, another setback, another decline. It's just a moment that's not good. It's a final straw. The point on this one is this. The enemy delights in bringing ruin to your life. I don't want to say much more on this one except this, church. We have to remember that our enemy is not flesh and blood. But the enemy uses flesh and blood. And we can certainly be upset and frustrated with flesh and blood. And when I say, remember, the enemy's not flesh and blood, it doesn't excuse the person who is flesh and blood for doing wrong. It doesn't mean that, oh yeah, I forgot, you're not my enemy. They may be somewhat of an enemy as well. They're in the pawns of the enemy. We yield ourselves. The Bible says, yield your members to whom you will obey. We can yield ourselves to the Spirit of God to be used of Him, and we can yield ourselves to the enemy to be used of Him. We can yield our tongue to God. We can yield our tongue to the enemy. The enemy, just like God, uses people. So when I say the enemy is not flesh and blood, it doesn't mean flesh and blood gets a pass. It doesn't mean that there's no consequences. There is sowing and there is reaping. But ultimately, we can't let the flesh and blood working against us cause us to build resentment and bitterness and poison our spirits, because ultimately there is an enemy behind it all. So, the next clip. In this one, Santa has reached his limit. He is greatly discouraged and feels like a failure. Jack is with him and comes across as sympathetic, but he is still focused on his goal of taking Santa's place. Remember, no matter how nice the enemy is, he is still the enemy.
Well, it's over. I thought I had a second chance at having a family, but I blew it again.
Hey, there's no one I know who could possibly hold this all together but you.
But I didn't. My in-laws resent me. Christmas is a disaster, and my pregnant wife wishes that she never had met me.
You know, I was gonna wait until tomorrow to give you this, but I think you need a bit of a pick-me-up now.
Okay.
Come on. Open it.
I don't feel like a Jack.
Oh, come on. Go ahead and make you feel better.
I don't feel like a Jack.
Come on. Would you just open it, please?
Thanks.
So are there times when you wonder...
Wonder what?
If this was even...
Worth it? More than you know.
Tonight's one of these times, huh?
Wish I'd never put that red coat on.
So, you wish you'd never become Santa at all?
I wish I'd never become Santa.
At all?
At all. At all. Yeah, at all. I wished I'd never been Santa at all. Happy?
I am now.
So the question comes up again. First, it was with Mrs. Claus when she was discouraged. Is it worth it? And now Santa himself is discouraged, and the question is posed by the enemy again. Is it worth it? Santa is discouraged to the point that he wishes he'd never been Santa Claus at all. So here's your statement for this one. The enemy will help you fail and then encourage you to quit. I want you to know out of the 5 points that I'm giving you today as I was going over this, for this one, this is the one that stood out the most for me. He will help you fail and then encourage you to quit. We all fail. We all fall down. But God would encourage you to get back up. But the enemy will encourage you to stay down. Call it done. So what about you? In your journey with Jesus, have you ever thought it's not worth it? Have you ever wanted to go back? You don't have to answer that. It's rhetorical. I've had those thoughts. I've had those battles. The children of Israel, after they were delivered from bondage and slavery, after years of serving the Egyptians, they were delivered. And for a while, when it was new, there was excitement. But after a while, when the new becomes familiar and we got some challenges and some battles, now they say, we'd like to go back to Egypt. Have you ever wanted to go back? The children of Israel wanted to go back. More than once, they complained. Demas did go back, a fellow laborer with Paul, and Paul said, he's forsaken me. He went back. Peter, for a while, was discouraged. You remember, he went back to what he knew. He went back to fishing. Some have gone back to drugs. Some have gone back to drinking. Some have gone back to whatever the vice is, their old ways. Whenever you begin to wonder, is it worth it? You need to consider that it might be the enemy that is whispering in your ear right then. If you're in a place right now and you're wondering, is it worth it? I just feel like giving up. You need to know that you may very likely be hearing the voice of the enemy. He will encourage you to quit. He will help you fall and encourage you to quit. Final clip. In this last clip, Santa takes the escape clause and he goes back in time. And for the last 12 years, Jack has been Santa. A lot of things happen. Santa tricks Jack into taking the escape clause and they go back in 12 years again. And the original Santa is now once again the Santa. So basically, Jack is right back where he started as if no time has passed. All of this has helped Santa gain a new perspective on life.
Carol. Carol!
Well, that didn't work out the way I'd hoped.
Carol!
Oh, Scott, we've been looking everywhere for you.
Come here. No, Mrs. Claus, I missed you. Oh. I missed you so much, so much.
Wait, it's just been a few minutes.
It's only been a few minutes.
Yeah.
Of course. course it's only been a few minutes, but it only takes a few minutes to see the truth of an entire lifetime.
I don't understand.
A man goes out in the world and expects his dreams to come true. And then, the unexpected happens. You pick up a red coat and become Santa Claus. That's big, that's huge, that's huge. And it's a lot of pressure. I mean, taking care of all the children of the world and the elves and the SOS and the North Pole. But he loses sight of what's really important. A woman falls in love with him. Gives him a baby. I love being Santa Claus and I love you.
I love you too. Have you been drinking cocoa?
No. I'm back.
I've missed you very, very much.
I missed you too.
I love the phrase when he said, I love being Santa Claus. A while ago, he wished he'd never put the coat on. His perspective has changed. He's got a new hope. What happened? He got a glimpse of what his life would have looked like had he not put on the coat. You know, there's no way for us to do that, but just ponder this. Is it worth it? Consider, what would your life be right now had you not met Jesus? Had you not put on the coat of salvation? Had you not done that, where would you be? I don't know where I would be. Would I be married? Maybe. Not to Teresa, but maybe to somebody. Maybe married and divorced. Would I have kids? Probably. Would I be in prison? Maybe. Would I be alive? I don't know. There's just no way to know what your life would be like had you not put on the coat. You're in a rough spot. You're in a difficult place. But like Santa, we need a new perspective on life. Here's your statement for this one. God wants to bring you a new perspective and a renewed hope. For a while, Jack Frost was winning. His plan had gone well. Santa wanted to quit. In fact, Santa did quit, but the battle wasn't over. I guess you could say Santa repented. He repented. And through his repentance, he gained a new perspective and a renewed hope. And maybe the enemy is winning against you right now. I need you to know that it's not over. I love the line where Jack's plan backfires and he says, well, that didn't turn out the way I'd hoped. I thought of the same thing when the devil thought he had won when he had Jesus up on the cross. And then Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. Can you just hear the devil? Well, that didn't turn out like I'd hoped. Listen, God's ahead. Now here's the thing. And here's maybe the difficult thing. In the movie, they go back in time for 12 years. And Jack Frost is Santa for 12 years. And then they go back 12 years again and come back. And it's as if no time has passed and everything is good again. We don't get that here. We don't get to go back and come back, and now the marriage is fixed. And now my kids aren't on drugs. And now I get the promotion. Now everything is normal. I got a new perspective, and everything got fixed. Doesn't happen that way. God can cause all things to work together for the good, though. And if life throws you a curve, God can help you to hit that curve and do well. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 answers the question, is it worth it? The answer is yes. Romans 8, 18 tells us, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Is it worth it? I'm not saying you're not in a difficult place, not making light of where you are, not saying it's not challenging. But Paul tells us it's worth it. Following Jesus is worth it. The sufferings that we go through now are not worthy to be compared of the glory that is on the way, of the glory that will be revealed in us. Suffering is a tough thing. Everybody gets some, and some people get more. I don't have answers for that. I just know that Paul got a lot of it, and he said this, it's worth it. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. I'm going to pray for you, and then Misty is going to sing. And I want you to use that time of her song to pray for yourself, however you see fit, in whatever posture you want to take. But before I pray, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today, you don't have to raise your hand. But if you're going through something huge, and I know some of you are, I want you to know that I pray for you. I hurt with you and for you. But I want you to get up. I'm not telling you get up right now. It's been long enough. I'm not saying that. My hope and my prayer is that at a moment, there's going to be a moment and you're going to get back up. We're going to tune out the voice of the enemy, the one that wants to help us fail and encourage us to quit. And we're going to tune into the voice of the Spirit that says, I see you and I want to help you get back up and go again. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name for everybody, but especially those that are here and those that are watching that are in the middle of great discouragement. Still going to work, still making supper, still mowing the yard, still doing things that life demands that we do. But the heart is not there. The smile is not there. The passion is not there. God, I pray in Jesus' name for those in the middle of struggle to hear your voice. We come against the voice of the enemy, the lies of the devil in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you give all of us a new perspective, a renewed hope. Christmas Day, hope was born. Jesus is the hope of the world. Let that hope come alive in us all over again. There is a glory to be revealed. So, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for your Spirit to do an empowering work in the hearts of everybody, but especially those who are near that final straw, close to throwing in the towel, close to calling it done. I pray for revival in marriages. I pray for revival in relationships in the home with parents and children. I pray for revival in your church. I pray for revival in your community. I pray for revival in every individual heart. Let faith come alive. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.